This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will now wrap up our series of primary election candidate interviews with an interview with Mike Gallagher, who is another Republican on the ballot in Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. U.S. Representative Reed Ribble, who holds that seat now, is not seeking re-election. We welcome now your questions for Mike Gallagher. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Gallagher is the Senior Global Market Strategist at Breakthrough Fuel in Green Bay. He's also a Marine Corps veteran and a former foreign policy aide to Scott Walker's presidential campaign. And as mentioned, one of three candidates running in next week's Republican primary for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us. Why are you running for Congress?
Well, as a private citizen, I just felt compelled to step up. I believe that career politicians and unelected bureaucrats are destroying this country that I love. And while I never would have ever planned on running for office, I just really felt an urgency to step up. I was born at St. Mary's Hospital in Green Bay into a big Irish Catholic family that instilled in me respect for hard work, faith in God, and service to country. And that's what really led me to join the Marine Corps the day I graduated from college, to pay back a debt that I felt I owed to my family and to this community. And in my 7 years on active duty and 2 combat deployments to Iraq and 2 years in the reserves and 3 years in the intelligence community, I really saw the best and worst of what our country can do. On the best, I was honored to work with and lead young men and women from across this country and see them do incredible things in spite of the odds and work together to accomplish a difficult mission in the harshest circumstances possible. But then I came home to see politicians who were unwilling to do the same and who flushed all of these hard-won gains down the drain. And I just think about when I left Iraq in 2008 after my second deployment, the progress we had made was absolutely remarkable. I mean, I ended my second deployment not in a firefight, but passing out books and soccer balls and school supplies to kids who couldn't even walk to school a year before. And then I returned to Iraq about a year and a half ago in a civilian capacity to see that the town that I deployed to, Al-Qaim, right on the Syrian border, is now under ISIS control. I mean, that's how far we've fallen in just 7 years. If you'd gone in 2008 and you told me that, I would have said that's impossible. That's crazy, because we had accomplished the mission. And my fear is that because we have abandoned American leadership abroad, because we've abandoned our allies, because we have emboldened our enemies, and we're no longer safe here at home. And even more troubling than what I see working in the private sector now in Green Bay is that the true source of our strength, and that's, in my mind, the strength of our communities and our economy, is deteriorating. And the country we love, as a result, is slowly slipping away. And it's because of a lack of leadership and moral courage from politicians who, quite frankly, care more about their careers and their next paycheck or ascending to the next highest office than they do about the country. And I think we would be better served if private citizens, citizen legislators like myself, and that's the model that I believe Reed Ribble adhered to, could step up, serve, treat it like a deployment and not like a career.
We'll get more into these issues as we move along, but in the couple of minutes we have before a news break, you have said that you will vote for Donald Trump this November. Do you have any concerns about whether President Trump will be able to work with Congress?
Well, I think, ironically, bipartisanship in this country is dead or dying because career politicians from both sides of the aisle agree on one big thing, and that's getting reelected or running for the next highest office is more important than getting things done. So Donald Trump says he wants to do things like rebuild the military, lower taxes. I'm all for that and ready and willing to work with him if he does. I also disagree with Donald Trump on some issues. I disagree on what he said about things like eminent domain and free speech. I disagree strongly with his posture on NATO and Russia. And I'm a conservative. I believe in conservative principles. I believe they are urgent and necessary for the future of the country. I will fight for them, and I will not back down. But I'm not running to serve the president in Congress. I am not running to serve party leadership in Congress. I'm running to serve the people of the 8th District in Congress, and I will work with whoever I think is necessary to get the job done. And quite frankly, I think both parties have also been guilty of transferring power systematically from Article 1, from the legislative branch, to the executive branch. I think both parties have been guilty of expanding the federal government at the expense of the states. And I think both parties have been guilty of turning this wonderful Constitution that we had into a free-for-all for special interest. And I think we need to urgently reverse that trend. And that's why I've been pledging since day one congressional reform, things like no budget, no pay legislation, like in any ordinary job, like in my day job in Green Bay. If you don't do that job, if you don't show up, if you don't get the job done, I don't think you should collect a paycheck. So if Congress can't do its basic job of passing a budget, it shouldn't get paid. And I have promised to sponsor legislation to do that within my first 100 days in office. And I will fight with my colleagues to push that going forward.
Let me jump in because we have news next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we will welcome your questions for Mike Gallagher, who is one of three candidates running in next week's Republican primary for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are wrapping up our candidate interview series today with a look at the 8th Congressional District in northeastern Wisconsin. Earlier this hour, we heard from Forestville Village President Terry McNulty, and now we are speaking with Mike Gallagher, Senior Global Market Strategist at Breakthrough Fuel in Green Bay. He's also a Marine Corps veteran and a former foreign policy aide to Scott Walker's presidential campaign. We also invited the third Republican candidate in the primary, Republican State Senator Frank Lissay, to join us, but he is unavailable. So what is your question for Mike Gallagher? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Mike Gallagher, before we get into some more issues, since I just mentioned that Republican State Senator Frank Lissay was unavailable to join us for this series, you apparently do have some issues with whether or not Senator Lissay is a resident of the 8th Congressional District?
I've actually never brought it up in this campaign. I've had people ask me about it. I think on WPR asked me about it. I read the same news stories that you all do. I think it is troubling if it's true, but we have bent over backwards to run a positive campaign. We've held to that so far. We are now in a position because my opponent has taken to the airwaves yesterday to attack my record with lies that we will have to respond today. And if he's questioning my residency, I think the question is fair game. But my preference for anybody involved in this race is just keep it positive. I mean, particularly since this is all friendly fire, we face urgent challenges as a country. I just, over the last 2 months, every day it seems like I wake up and I confront a headline that I can't even make up. I mean, just look at what's happened in the last 3 weeks. I mean, on 6 different continents, terrorist attacks that have claimed the lives of over 247 people. We've suffered the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil since 9/11, the largest loss of law enforcement life since 9/11. We are bankrupting the country and sending the bill to the next generation, to my generation. And instead, we want to talk about the usual political circus, and we want people to attack and spread mud. And I just think it's beneath us, because one of the strange things that you confront in this process, as someone who's never run before, so forgive me if this sounds a bit naive, but underneath all that negativity and the headlines and what you confront whenever you turn on the TV, when you talk with real people, you're just blown away by the level of patriotism, the level of hard work, these sort of enduring reservoirs of strength in this country. I just have come to the conclusion that we have an entire political class that is unworthy of the people that they seek to represent. And, you know, I would hope to be part of a different effort, and that's why we have done our best to run a positive campaign.
And I know you're going to respond to Senator Frank Lissay. Maybe you can give us a little bit of a hint of how you're going to respond. He says you were handpicked by Washington insiders, also accused you of taking more than $250,000 from K Street lobbyists, investment bankers, and East Coast special interests. And our candidate prior to this, Terry McNulty, was expressing some similar concerns about your campaign donations. What is your response to this?
Well, the first is to say these are the same lies that my opponent has been peddling since day one. They've been repeatedly disproven by multiple people in the media and just around the district. And I find it more than a bit disingenuous that someone who has been in politics for 25 years, someone who's run for 4 different offices in the last 8 years, is trying to attack me, someone who has never run before, who hasn't planned on running before, who has spent the majority of the last decade on active duty in the U.S. Marine Corps as an insider. I mean, how does that even withstand the most basic test of scrutiny? I think this is an act of desperation. Our campaign has made a lot of momentum in the last few months because we've had to build the campaign from the ground up. And the barriers to entry for someone who has never run before and isn't part of the system are incredibly high. And so I get what's going on here. I get that this is sort of a last-ditch effort to take me down, but it's not going to work because the numbers also just don't add up. I mean, unlike Frank Lissay, we've actually filed our latest FEC report, so anyone can go online and check where all our money comes from. And even if you count everyone, you know, in the greater D.C. area, putting aside the idea that everyone that donates from Northern Virginia is somehow a D.C. insider, it just doesn't get up to $250,000. 98% of our donations have come from individuals, whereas 20% of my opponent's money has come from industries that he directly oversees in Madison. I mean, the irony of this attack is almost unbearable. So it just doesn't withstand basic common sense. We're going to refute it, and then we're going to move on and just keep running a positive campaign. I'm going to talk about my background, why I'm running, my ideas, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has of us. And I don't know if anyone's like me, but I just, all these political ads, and it's just the same stuff every 2 years. It's the same trite, tired arguments that are rehashed every 2 years. And I just think that's the politics of the past that's gotten us into this mess, and we need something different going forward.
Yeah. One more question about politics before we take some calls with people who have some specific questions about issues. Would you welcome Donald Trump's endorsement prior to the primary, and will you attend his town hall on Friday in Green Bay?
I highly doubt Donald Trump is going to be endorsing anyone in this primary. Listen, I'm interested in, as I said before, working with anyone who I'm aligned with on the issues, and I'm happy to entertain a conversation with anybody, although Donald Trump's people have never reached out to me. As for Friday, I'm not going. We have a prior commitment in Shawano at a Lions Club event that I have to speak at. We just got the details yesterday, so we have 5 days left until the primary election, what will be a contested primary election. We have an incredibly aggressive schedule. I'm going to get out there and knock on as many doors as possible, talk to as many voters as possible, and every minute that I'm not spending doing that is a minute wasted. And like I said before, I'm attacking this with a sense of urgency. I think we need people who will treat it like a deployment. And I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy getting out there and just having conversations with people. And I think there's an enormous amount of common sense that you don't find in the chattering class when you're talking with ordinary Wisconsinites. And that's how I want to spend the next 5 days.
What does it mean to you to have Congressman Reid Ribble's endorsement?
Again, I welcome it. I was surprised that he came in and endorsed in the primary. I didn't think he was going to do that. You know, I am honored by what he said. I think he sort of correctly diagnosed the political landscape where we need someone who's an outsider, who isn't part of the political system. I think we also need someone with national security experience at a time of urgent national security threats, not only in the Middle East, where I've spent the majority of my professional career working, but across the board, whether it's in Eastern Europe and a resurgent Russia, whether it's a rising China in the South and Eastern China Sea, testing our global leadership that serves as an economic threat as well, that's conducting billions of dollars in intellectual property theft every year across the board. We're seeing threats to our interests rise. And it is a fact that the highest function of the federal government is to protect the homeland. And in order to keep the people of Northeast Wisconsin and the rest of the country safe, we need to be aggressive in the fight against radical Islamic terrorism in all forms and via all methods. And I would further argue that how we confront this threat, we'll send a message to our allies and our enemies around the world who right now do not respect us, they do not fear us, and who right now are testing us. And we need to reverse that trend urgently.
Let's go to Jim in Green Bay next. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Mike. First of all, thank you for your service to our country. My question kind of involves that. So as a veteran yourself, I was just wondering, how could you go about fixing our broken VA system so that more veterans deserve the care that they have earned?
Do you think it's broken, Mike Gallagher?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it is a stain on our country's honor that so many veterans will die waiting for care, to say nothing of the growing problem of veteran suicide, to say nothing of the fact that on this day, as on every day in America, 22 veterans will take their own lives. That's a suicide every 65 minutes by brave men and women, many of whom survived combat overseas only to perish at home because systems failed, because we as a nation failed to have their backs and serve them here as they served us over there. And I think this is an issue, again, kind of to your earlier question, Joy, this isn't a partisan issue. This shouldn't be an issue where both sides immediately retreat to their corner. This should be an urgent wake-up call and call to action for everyone, because I can think of no greater duty that we have. And I say this as a veteran who feels enormously indebted to guys that didn't come back, who weren't as lucky as I was, and families that bear an unimaginable burden. I mean, the Gold Star families that every day bear an unimaginable burden because of their loss. Our country owes them an enormous debt of gratitude. And this is an issue to which I intend to devote my every waking moment and as much energy as I can muster. And I don't think it needs to be a partisanship. And it's not a matter of privatizing the VA. No one's talking about that. The VA will always have unique functions it has to perform. But it's a matter of increasing accountability and increasing choice. And I think we have a lot of creative policy options that are being proposed right now that would get at that.
Let me take one more call before we wrap up. Paul in Two Rivers, what's your question?
Terry McNulty brought up a flat tax, and I'm sure he was talking about a flat tax on income rather than wealth. I want to know, if Mike, do you have an opinion on a flat tax, and would you put it on income or would you put it on wealth?
All right, and can you answer that in less than a minute?
Okay. We'll solve the tax code in 60 seconds.
Yep.
I think it would be dramatically better than the tax code we have right now, which is just a giant distortion. We have a tax code built by lawyers and bureaucrats for lawyers and bureaucrats. Just look at the last time comprehensive tax reform was tackled. It was in 1986, and we have failed to muster the courage to do it the same. So I think my principles going forward on tax reform, which I do believe should be the priority of the next Congress, simplicity. We need to consolidate the current 7 brackets into 3. Transparency and fairness. We need to clean up the tax code and get rid of all these carve-outs, these special interest deduction, and make it as fair and transparent as humanly possible. And then we need to prioritize growth and work. And I think proposals like the earned income tax credit, as well as allowing businesses to fully deduct capital investments, which would turbocharge growth, are what we need right now. And I think this is an area where the next Congress actually can have influence.
And we have just 30 seconds for you to tell us why people in the 8th District should vote for you in Tuesday's primary.
First and foremost, I'm a Marine, not a career politician. This isn't a stepping stone for me. It's about service, and we need leaders who will treat public office like a deployment, not like a career. Second, I believe I bring a unique background, a mix of military, national security, academic, and private sector experience. At a time of growing economic and foreign policy crisis, I intend to use that experience to fight to keep our country safe, keep government off our backs and out of our wallets, and force Congress to do its job. And finally, as a younger candidate in the race, I would hope to reach millennials. I would hope to serve as a bridge between my parents' generation and the younger generation. I think it's urgent for conservatives in particular to start connecting with millennials.
And I'm going to leave it there because we're out of time. Mike Gallagher, running for 8th Congressional District Congress.